Father, we love you this morning and we say, hallowed be thy name. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, the glory and the power. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, Lord, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power, in thy hand is mind, thy hand is protection, kindness, mercy, grace, and peace. It is also in your hand to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O Lord our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. And we declare that the entrance of your word today will bring us light and also give us understanding. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to take today's scripture reading and I'll tell you the topic of today's lesson in just a second. Today's scripture reading is going to be taken from Isaiah chapter 54. And our lesson today is titled, God promises kindness, peace, and mercy unto you. That's what God promises unto us out of this chapter. And many other things in this chapter. Powerful chapter, this Isaiah 54. I'm going to read all of it and call out a few things here. Praise the Lord. I love this book of the prophet Isaiah. Usually my go-to place for comfort and exhortation. I want to look up from powerful promises. I often go to the book of Isaiah. It's also the book of Psalms, for times of refreshing and self-encouragement and things like that. I'm praising the Lord. But this book of Isaiah in particular, I've always found it over the years, powerful promises. So today, let's read through Isaiah chapter 54. I'm going to read in King James. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Now, as we read through this, there are so many powerful declarations in this chapter. You can begin to latch on them even before we give the lesson. You hear anything on here as we read through it that resonates with your spirit, well, give a reaction in the chat room. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. That is so powerful. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in the spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith the Lord. But these are all the things that God can change. He said, for a small moment, I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. That's talking to Jerusalem and to the children of Israel. For us, we receive encouragement also for these. We may have gone through some little testings, trials, difficulties, and so forth, but the great promises are coming. In a little wrath, I hid my face from a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Even when the Lord would chasten us, as always, his kindness and his mercy around all of that. For this is at the waters of Noah unto me, as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, even so have I sworn that I would no more be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. Now, verse 10 is where today's text is taken from, or today's subject title. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. There's three powerful things that the Lord promised here for you, and we're going to be talking about them. He talked about, the assurances of these things by contrasting even immovable structures. Generally speaking, mountains cannot easily depart. Hills cannot be easily moved. Even the psalmist said, as the mountains surround around about Jerusalem, and so the Lord is around his people, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion that cannot be removed. I mean, these structures are usually considered permanent fixtures in God's creation, mountains and hills. They don't generally skip or move and so forth, or be removed or depart. But the Lord said, even if they did, they might, but not his own kindness and not his peace and his mercy. For the mountains, and this will also be a memory verse for us today, so you can start to meditate on it already. Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. So we're talking about his kindness, his peace, and his mercy. O thou afflicted. So this aligns with the lessons of the last 2 days. And we've been afflicted. We've been crying to the Lord. Tears of faith. He said, tossed with the tempest and not comforted. Well, here is a promise that he gives. Behold, I lay thy stones with fair colors and thy foundations with sapphires. I make thy windows of agate and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. I mean, this is for somebody who's struggling. God's going to beautify your situations. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Isn't that beautiful? In righteousness shalt thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression. Wow. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Yeah? Powerful promise. Behold, they shall surely gather together. God didn't say they wouldn't. They will too. But not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. You don't even need to pray about that. He already said it. Praise the Lord. Job 5:12 also says that, look, God will disappoint all their evil devices so that their hands cannot perform any of their evil enterprises against you. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and I bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. And look at this one, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall not prosper. Shall prosper. Didn't say it wouldn't be formed, but it says it will not prosper. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, I can count over 25 or more promises in here that the Lord just point blank lays out. But I want to cover just three aspects today from verse 10 of this chapter. He says, again, the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but, you know, my covenant of peace and my kindness shall not depart from you. Praise the Lord. Wow. Let's consider that. Let's break it down for a bit. Now, we know that mountains and hills, they are very solid things that God has put on upon the face of the earth. They generally don't move or cannot easily be moved. So this declaration here is an indication of God's steadfastness. That's right. You might call it, some people talk about his faithfulness. Well, his faithfulness is unwavering. You know, it's steadfast. It compares it or contrasts it to even if mountains and hills could move or be removed. But not his kindness. You know, the Lord said, I will show you kindness from time to time. My covenant of peace shall also be with you. And it is coming to you all by the mercies of the Lord. That these three things are wrapped up in this one verse. And if you understand it, you too can be a channel of blessing to provide kindness, peace, mercy, be a covering to people for those things. Praise the Lord. Now, God is our covering for kindness always, a covering for peace, a covering for mercy. We can always rely upon him for that. And there was one day that David would express this same kindness, you know. Hallelujah. He said in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 9, I love this story. I refer to it multiple times. You know, he said, is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Well, that's it right there. David himself received kindness. He received mercy of the Lord and he's ready to show it. 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 3. And this was the story of Mephibosheth. You know, the man, powerful story. We've told this story a few times. You know, the man was one of the sons of Saul that was left. Others had been killed. And, you know, they said, well, yeah. I was told that there is one man left. I want to show him the kindness of God because of what Jonathan did. Now, Jonathan, you might call it paying it forward. You know, all the things he did in advance, he wasn't doing it at the time thinking that his son will get some recompense of good reward. A good recompense of those acts, but just doing it, you know, because, you know, of his friendship with David. He saved David's life many times from even the hand of his father, Saul, father of Jonathan, that is. And so David was told, said, well, there is yet one man who's the son of Jonathan. So now David heard that, I was like, oh my goodness, Jonathan still has a son left. Wow. Looking forward to meeting him. But they told the man, they told David, well, you know, he lives in this place called Lodabar. a place of forgetfulness. I mean, it's like it's a nothing happening, dry place, no word, no light, no pasture. It's a place, you know, of just, I mean, doom, so to speak. That's where the man, he was supposed to be a prince, but everything had been cut off from him. And he was dwelling in this place called Lodabar. There's a message even in that, the name of that place. There are people today that are in a place called Lodabar, which means nothing happening, nothing good, no progress, no hope even. That's what, you know, Lodabar represents. And this man was in such a place. But one day, the mercy and kindness of God was going to locate him. You know, you look at even, you know, meanings of Lodabar up in the dictionary. It tells you different things of desolation, obscurity, separation, poverty, the place of no pasture, you know, and so on. So the significance of it is that this man had nothing going for him. Let's just put it that way. He had lost everything. He had lost his position as a prince. You know, was hiding for his life because somebody had chosen to kill all the sons of the king. He managed to escape. He's now lame on his feet. And so when they found him, he said, go fetch him from Lodabar and bring him to me. And they fetched him too. And when he came, you know, even before he came, the king, King David, had determined in his heart that he's going to show the kindness of God to somebody. I want to show you what the kindness of God looks like. But that's what David said, I'm going to do. I'm going to show the kindness of God to somebody. Today, praise God. So when they brought this man was afraid for his life, you know, because he knew all the things that Saul tried to do to David and all of that. So he thought for sure David was calling him to kill him because of all the evil that Saul tried to do to David. And he was scared. And David said, no, don't be afraid. You know, I will surely show you the kindness of God today. Glory to God. And the kindness of God, number one, already fetched him out of that no happening place, nothing happening place, a place of darkness, a place of desolation, a place of no remembrance. I mean, nobody even remembered that he was a prince. It was a place of hiding, a place of no pasture, no word, no light, you know. So many different evils. You can look up the word Lodabar yourself, associated with the place where he was. But the kindness of God was going to seek him out. He said, I will show the kindness of God to somebody. And they, so they sought this man out. That's right. They sought him out. They fetched him out of Lodabar. And they brought him to David. And David said, fear not, for I will surely show you kindness. Ha! Glory to God. For Jonathan, thy father's sake. Well, remember, this is the kindness of God. This is what it looks like. He says, I will restore unto thee all the land of Saul, thy father. Now, Saul was king. Saul owned many things. And all the things, Saul was killed and Jonathan in battle in one day. And all the things that Saul owned, even as king, many things were, you know, named after him. You know, we have those same things today, even, you know, in the U.S. and perhaps other places, you know, things are named after presidents and so forth. It can name even libraries, even schools, even different things. And, you know, this Those kings in those days, they were absolute monarchs. They owned everything, you know. And wicked kings, we've seen this, their stories, even try to get other people's belongings, such as Ahab, whom his wife, wicked wife, Jezebel, stirred up, you know, to kill people, take their land and everything. Now, but on the other hand, David said to this man, everything that Saul, your father, and that's right, he was the son of Saul. Sons of sons in those days were called sons. Not grandchildren like that. Because I say, well, I'm going to restore everything unto you. The land that your father owned, and thou shalt now eat bread. So commanded his servants, set a table for this man. You know, put a seat for him on my table. He will eat with the sons of the king, the princes. Ha! Glory to God. Now that's what the kindness of God looks like. And so this man bowed himself, said, what is thy servant that I should look upon such a dead dog as myself? That's what he thought of himself. But the kindness of God located him. Ha! I declare today that the kindness of God will locate you. Glory to God. And it will bring you out of that place of shedding tears for a long time. And it's going to do something marvelous for you. He put this man upon the king's table. Now, you don't sit on that table unless you are one of the princes. But, well, yeah, David was going to put the kindness of the Lord upon this man to enjoy the same benefit of prince. He was a prince. He lost everything. And the Lord said, through David, I'm going to give it all back to you. Praise the Lord. Because of something his father did. You know, now some of the good that you are doing today, maybe your children will reap the good later on. You don't know how God will repay things. Now, this woman called Hannah, she gave this powerful prophecy, and David would even quote it later on because he's doing the same thing here. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2, we read in verse 8, the Lord raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill, that's Lodabar, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. That's exactly the story of this Mephibosheth. And that's exactly what God did. The kindness of God located him, brought him out of, you know, this place of nothing happening, and set him among the princes of David. That's David himself wrote of the same thing in Psalm 113. He said in verse 7, the Lord raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the needy out of the dunghill to set him among princes, even the princes of his people. Now that's what the kindness of God looks like. So, may you receive encouragement today. My kindness shall not depart from you. Even if you are in a place of Lodabar, if you are in a place where your tears have been your meat all day and all night. And David said, my tears, my bed is wet with tears. I'm always crying because of all these problems. I mean, he was minding his business. I mean, David didn't want him trying to be king. look, I was happy with my sheep. You know, he wasn't trying to be king, but the Lord found him. The word of the Lord promoted him. But that put a target on his back. From the day that the anointing oil was poured upon him,
Ah.
That was a target painted on his back, because Saul would have none of it. You know? So Saul was always trying to kill him. And David was always, there was all kinds of problems. Even in his household, problems. Absalom and the rest of them, different things just against him. So, but he cried unto the Lord. And he remembered, you know, how to show kindness to people after the Lord had blessed him. Just like we said the other day, after that thou art converted, well, strengthen your brethren. When you're being pulled out of the pit, stretch out one hand behind you to pull up somebody else with you. David, after the Lord had given him finally the throne, said, well, I have received the kindness of God, and now I must show it to somebody else. Beautiful story. Now, I pray that the Lord will show you this kind of kindness. He even make the barren woman to keep house, to be a joyful mother of children. Kindness. What about the covenant of my peace? Now, this is not a covenant that, you know, God made with us in terms of, oh, you sign this, I sign that. This is something that he did by himself. We're told in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Let's read how Jesus confirmed this covenant of peace unto us. In case you are wondering, you know, why, you know, am I in trouble and so forth? Well, hear this word of the Lord. It's what God has already promised, and Jesus paid the price. He was wounded for our transgressions. Now, at a time such as this, you know, this is the season where all across the world, people are even remembering, you know, Jesus from the time he rode into Jerusalem. His eyes were set on that cross. He knew what he had to go through, and was wounded finally for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. That's right. And with his stripes we are healed. So the price of peace was all the beatings that he put across his back. That's right. All of that was for your peace. Now, the scars that those things left on his body, called his stripes, they are for your healing. But before the stripes came, there was first the chastisement. Your peace has been paid for by Christ. Let's see what that peace looks like. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, we see a picture of this peace. It says, well, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. That's right. That's what peace looks like. In the areas where you would naturally be troubled, where you would have anxiety, you know, all those hair-splitting moments and run etasket and so forth, Lord said, no. I'm giving you peace instead. The peace of God in the midst of the storm. Now, let's take a look at, you know, what peace might look like. You know, sometimes peace, you know, can be the absence of trouble, right? But it is not only usually the absence of trouble or conflict or problem. It can be looked at as a state of wellness, a state of tranquility, you know, a state of restoration. There were many times that the, you know, Bible even talked about God giving rest to certain kings because they had wholly followed the Lord. And they gave, God gave them rest from all their enemies. Well, that's also peace. We may have peace because there is no trouble. We may also experience peace even in the midst of trouble. Now, at one time, God gave David peace, finally, from all his troubles. God gave Solomon peace, rest all around. Asa, many of these kings, there were different times, they had years of peace. And, you know, even Solomon, he said here, he said, the Lord had given me rest on every side. 1 Kings chapter 5 verse 4. That's what peace looks like. God had given me rest on every side so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. That's peace in another way too. And whether there is trouble or no trouble, we can have peace. God can give us peace by cutting off adversary and all evil occurrences. God can also give you peace even in the midst of the storm. That's God's covenant. He said in Isaiah 43 and 2, this is peace, even in the midst of the storm. This is not a life without any storm. Not according to Isaiah 43 and 2, where he says, when, not if, when you pass through, you know, so the when there is, it's going to happen. You can't escape it. You're going to pass through waters. You're going to pass through rivers. You're also going to pass through the fire. But you can have peace in knowing that you are passing through, not that you are going into the waters or going into the fire, but peace because you are passing through. And no matter how long it takes before you get to the other side, you will get to the other side. Because that's what he said. You know, yeah. He said, the water shall not overflow you, and you will not be burnt. The flame shall not kindle upon you. The Lord will see you through. And that's peace, even in the midst of all of that. Peace in the midst of the storm. You know, we saw that in Mark chapter 4. Jesus had that peace. He was able to sleep and was going to sleep through the storm. Storm didn't bother him at all. The disciples, on the other hand, they had not learned the place of that kind of peace. And that's what Philippians 4 and 7 is telling us. God wants you to be bigger than your problems. That's right. Bigger than the storms, bigger than the tempest, bigger than the thing that will keep you up. People say, what keeps you up at night? You know, bigger than those things. Not necessarily that he would remove those things, but you yourself, you are bigger than those things. You know, and it's not every little thing that we need to cry to the Lord for. That's the story we see in Mark chapter 4. Jesus was disappointed with the disciples that they had to come to him crying, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus spoke on and said, hey, what's happening? I said, what's happening? You know, look at all the water rushing into the boat. We've been tossed up and down. We're about to perish. And you're sleeping at this time as this? Jesus said, come on now. Why are you so fearful? How come it is that you have no faith? Where is your place of peace? In the storm. Glory to God. You know, there are many things that God wants us to be. Not one of them is being scared and afraid of storms of life. No. He wants you to be able to go through confidently. That's the covenant
of peace. You know, that people can even look at you and say, how can you have peace in such a time? Well, because you are assured by the promise of Lord. So when you are going through with those tears of faith, I want you to be assured of the promises of God. His kindness will not leave you in Lodabar. Because of his kindness, he's coming for you, getting you out of that Lodabar. And you are coming to sit on the king's table. His kindness will fetch you. What about his peace? Well, his peace is for you to remember that peace will be with you even through the storm. That's right. Listen to this in Isaiah 32 and verse 17. The work of righteousness shall be peace. Glory to God. You know, that's the thing that comes from righteousness. Come from being in the right standing with God. That's what righteousness is. The effect of it shall be quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. You know, that's what peace looks like after God finally dealt with all the uprisings in your life. Glory to God. After he has wiped away those tears from your eyes, then you will say, like Solomon, there is no more evil, no uprising, no evil occurrence. God has given us rest on every side. Praise the Lord. God is going to give you rest, but you must wait patiently for him. He's going to do it too. Our God will come and will save the day. But don't be afraid and don't be running helter-skelter. Isaiah 35 and verse 3. This message is to strengthen the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. And this message is to say to those that are of a fearful heart because of things you're going through, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with a recompense. He's coming and he's going to save you. And finally he said, you know, and the ransom of the Lord shall return. Glory to God. Isaiah 35 and verse 10. The same thing is repeated in Isaiah 51:11. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with joy and with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is exactly what happened for Mephibosheth. He had been in a place of sorrow, sadness, grief, you know, despair of life even. No hope, no light, no word, no future, other than hiding. But the word of the Lord fetched him. The kindness of the Lord fetched him and set him up upon the king's table. That's what kindness looks like. And this is what peace looks like. No evil occurrence on every side. And sometimes even when there is evil occurrence, God giving you peace through the storm. That's a posture that we must develop in life. It's a posture of peace. You know, mountains may be blowing up around you. Hills may be removing. All kinds of upheavals may be happening. But your heart will be stayed on the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Now, notice all these powerful promises coming out of the book of Isaiah. You know, thou wilt keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. You know, doesn't mean that there will be no trouble. Sometimes God can cut off the trouble. We know that. But even if he doesn't yet, even in the midst of the trouble, you can still have perfect peace because your mind is stayed on the Lord rather than the trouble. Put your trust in Him. He said, the reason why this man will enjoy peace, even in the midst of all this stuff that may be around him, is because his mind is on the Lord and he's trusting in the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever, he says in Isaiah 26 and 4. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Ha! Glory to God. So, and the Lord will bring down them that dwell on high, even the lofty city. He will lay it low. He will bring it down, even to the dust, and you know, and so forth. But he will set up the righteous. He will set up the needy. That's right. Glory to God. So, the way of the just is uprightness, because the Lord doth weigh the path of the just. In the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, then the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Praise the Lord. So, God extends peace. And the capstone of these three things out of Isaiah 54 and 10 is his mercy. There is his kindness. There is the covenant of his peace. And then his mercy. Saith the Lord, I had mercy on thee. It's because of his mercy. That's why he does these things, you know. And he will show you kindness. He will change your story from a place of tears to a place of harvesting of joy. He will change your story from a place of Lodabar to the place where you are sitting with princes on the king's table. And you know what that really means. Talk about a quantum leap. That's a quantum leap if you can ever find one. Someone who was in a place of nothing happening, thinking of himself even as a dead dog. And the same day, promoted to sit on the king's table and eat bread at my table continually the rest of his life, David said. This man will never have to do anything like struggling for that again. Furthermore, here are some other things that he said to this man. You know, Ziba, who was the chief of the servants of the house of Saul, the David asked the man, "Art thou Ziba?" He said, "Yeah, I am he, my lord." And he said, "Well, you know, from now on, glory to God, you and all the people that work for you, you are now reporting to this Mephibosheth. You are all of you." And you know, the word of the king is law. There's no debating it. Once he put it out like that, that's it. You know, so not only did he fetch this man from Lodabar, not only did he put him on the king's table, he says to the servants of Saul, "As you were loyal to Saul all your days, from now on you will serve this man." That's right. This man, go gather, first of all the fruits of the land and bring it to him. Glory to God. Woo-hoo. Everything, and you and all the other servants, from now on, I have given you to this man. And all that pertain to Saul shall now be for him, including you and all the servants with you. You now report to this guy. What he tells you goes from now on. My goodness. You talk about the kindness of God. Favor that located this man. Glory to God. Ah, and the Lord will do the same for you if you put your trust with the Lord. The Lord will surround you also, you know, with favor as with a shield. Praise God. We surround you also with songs of deliverance. Psalm 5 and verse 12 says, for surely, thou, O Lord, will bless the righteous. You will surround them with favor as with a shield. Glory to God. This is coming for you, you know, as a replacement, you know, for your tears. Joy is coming. Glory to God. For all your trouble, God is now going to give you even more than double. You shall have the double. This man, Mephibosheth, got more than double. In fact, everything that he had lost, you know, in one day, he got more than that. Just think of it, sitting on the king's table. All the servants now working for him. And he having no other worries. He went through his time. You know, he had his time of suffering. And just like the scripture says in 1 Peter 5:10, after that you have suffered a while, and the Lord will establish you, will settle you with peace. So you've suffered, you've had those tears of faith for a while. Now it is time for you to come out of Lodabar and sit on the king's table. Hallelujah. I'm going to make that declaration for you in a minute. Even as this room is going on right now, you don't need to wait until the end. You can latch on to those declarations and give a reaction in the chat room for that. For your shame, saith the Lord, Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 7, you shall have that double. Glory to God. Double will you possess from the Lord. He says, in your land, you shall possess the double. In your family, you shall have double. In your life, you shall have double. Because of the trouble and the shame that you have been through. Now the Lord will give you double. And you can take that literally. Because this word of God is beautiful for every situation. Glory to God. Any situation that you can apply the word of God to, he is beautiful for it. He can, you know, back up that word for you. And it will be powerful stuff. Glory to God. Powerful. That's Isaiah 61 verse 7. What about Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 12? Also showing how when the Lord turned the captivity. Remember Psalm 126 that we read over the last 2 days. When the Lord turned our captivity, we were like them that dreamt. Well, these verses saying when the Lord turned your captivity also, he will give you that double for your trouble. Glory to God. Praise God. Now, it says the Lord will render double. Prisoners of hope. Well, those who are in the prison of captivity, of negativity, let's put it that way. Today, there is hope to you. Turn ye to the stronghold, he said in Zechariah 9 and 12. Ye prisoners of hope, even today I declare unto you, that the Lord will render that double unto you. Double blessings, double goodness, because of this covenant of his peace. And the Lord will defend you. The Lord will wipe away your tears, but you must wait for the Lord. Don't be like the children of Israel that couldn't wait for Moses to come down from that mount. And they made to themselves golden calves. No, you must wait for the salvation of the Lord. Don't turn to any wickedness. Wait for the salvation of the Lord. and the Lord, he will save the day. And his mercy, oh my goodness. The Lord demonstrated the greatness of his mercy toward us. You know, so David understood it. In fact, he wrote an entire psalm, Psalm 136, about the mercy of the Lord. Well, many of his psalms, he always said, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever, and so on. But in this one psalm, he punctuated every phrase with the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Sometimes he would even split a sentence into two and put the mercy of the Lord endureth forever right in there. And that's how he did it. Psalm 136, the whole of it, talking about the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord. And God would show something great to Moses, demonstrating the mercy of the Lord. When he gave Moses instructions about, you know, how to build the temple, the things in the tabernacle which God showed him and so forth. All of those things are symbolisms of one thing or the other. You know, the Lord told Moses, you are going to put the mercy seat above the ark. you know, what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that there is something that God thinks of his mercy. You know, in Exodus chapter 25, verse 21, and many verses around there showing us what God thinks about this attribute of mercy. It says, saith the Lord that has mercy upon you. The Lord was showing him in this Exodus 25 how to build the tabernacle of witness and all the symbolism and things he will put inside of it. And he says to him in verse 21 of Exodus 25, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark. Now, the ark, as we know, represents the very presence of God. And inside the ark, there were some special symbols and different things. But God said, no, put the mercy seat, not beside the ark, not underneath the ark, but above the ark. The only thing that is above his mercy is God himself. Because God said, put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and inside the ark you put the testimony that I will give you. And there will I meet with you and commune with thee from above the mercy seat. So God himself is above the mercy seat. The mercy seat is above the ark. This tells you how great the mercy of the Lord is. This is perhaps his greatest attribute. The mercy of the Lord said, put it even above the ark. And now the ark contains the testimony. The ark contains many things, you know, but he said, no. Put the mercy seat above the ark. My goodness. Saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. This is the stamp of God's faithfulness. By telling you that these things are coming to you, my kindness and my covenant of peace coming to you from my mercies. The mercy of the Lord that endureth forever. You know, I declare that God will cause you to experience a lift, a lifting up from the place of Lodabar to the king's table. I declare that God will cause you to experience peace, even in the midst of the storm you're going through. And at some point in time, he will cut off the troubles, the evil occurrences. There will be neither evil nor any trouble. Cut it off and give you peace and rest on every side. But in the meantime, even while this trouble is still on, it will give you rest and peace because your mind is stayed on the Lord and you are trusting in Him. And I will meet with you there and commune with you from above the mercy seat. Glory to God. That's how great His mercy is. And today, I declare unto you by the word of the Lord, according to Isaiah 54 and verse 10, that the mountains, well, may depart, and the hills may be removed, but the kindness of the Lord and the covenant of His peace shall not depart from you, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. I want you to take that verse and memorize it as a testament of God's steadfast love and His kindness and His commitment, His faithfulness. He will stand, of course, you already know that God will stand upon His promises and behind His promises. You know, we stand behind His promises, rather. We stand on those promises. He stands behind those promises. They are guaranteed. And they are guaranteed to you because of the signature of His mercy. Now, sometimes after the Lord says something, we just say, saith the Lord of hosts, or saith the Lord, or thus saith the Lord. But this time around, He puts the signature of His mercy on it. Saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. And where is His mercy with respect to everything else? It's above even the ark. If you know David, he understood the mercy of the Lord and more than anybody else in that Bible. When they said, you can't go in there, you can't eat that, it's only for priests. David said, they said, you know, the man said, the priest said to him, look, there is no common bread here. We have only this, you know, special bread. David said, special. It is indeed common bread. You know, I understood the mercy of the Lord. And Jesus testified in Mark chapter 2, Matthew chapter 12. He testified of this thing that David did. Have you not read what David did when he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the priest? And did eat of the show bread that was not lawful for him to eat, but for the priest only. And not only did he eat it, he gave it to those who were with him. And the anger and the wrath of God did not fall on anybody. And even Jesus was testifying about it. And at the end of it, Jesus said, if you only knew what this saying meant, that I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. David understood that mercy. There was a man, Uzziah, one day, he was just trying to help the ark that removed when it was being carried from one place to another. And when the oxen shook, the ark was about to fall. He put forth his hand to help the ark so it wouldn't fall. God even smote him. Don't put your hand to help the ark. It's not your place. God's anger, you know, smote him. But not David. David even went and took what did not belong. 82. And even gave it to others. You know, you are called not only to inherit a blessing, but to be also a blessing. That the blessing of Abraham might pass upon all of us. Now, the blessing of this covenant of peace, His kindness and His mercy that you receive will pass from you to others. It will pass from you to your children. It passed from David to all the people that were with him. God could have slain every one of them, but they didn't because of David. And Jesus was even testifying about it. See what David did. If David did that, then don't tell me anything about the Sabbath day, Jesus said. Because they told Jesus, it's not lawful for you to do these things on the Sabbath day. He himself was not doing it, was his disciples, but he wasn't stopping them either. You know, his disciples went through the corn on the Sabbath day, you know, to pluck and to eat, which they were not supposed to do according to the law of Moses. And the Pharisees saw them, criticized them, challenged Jesus. Why do your disciples do that which is not lawful on the Sabbath days? And Jesus said, well, have you not read in the scriptures how David did something that was not lawful? That's right. And he got away with it. And Jesus is even testifying about it. But David understood the mercy of the Lord more than anybody else. In fact, in Psalm 136, like I was saying, he wrote about this mercy of the Lord. Mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Every sentence, every phrase, he punctuated it with the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. If you understand this mercy of the Lord, it's the highest part of his attributes. It is because of his mercy that his kindness comes to you. It's because of his mercy that his guarantee, the guarantee of his covenant of peace is with you, the guarantee of his kindness. It's all because of his mercy. It's all with you. And mercy is the one thing that I have found even when faith fails. You know, I like to think that I have faith, but sometimes even when faith is not quite working, I lean on the mercy of the Lord. That one has never failed. The 24 witnesses, they're a cloud of witnesses. Their role, they are called, you know, it's like elders, you know, and so forth. Their role is not to check the Lord. Elders check things in the church. No, these ones are there to let you know that we are a cloud of witnesses. From the time that we have been here, we have never seen his mercy fail. That's what they do. You know, so I have found the mercy of the Lord. You know, if you can lean on, you know, never did the cry for mercy, you know, go unanswered by Jesus. In fact, who stopped Jesus in his tracks. I mean, there are stories, you know, when there was a blind man and so forth, you know, crying for mercy and everybody telling him to shut up. He cried the more. And we're told that Jesus, when he heard that cry, he stopped. He was going somewhere, but he stopped. And he looked around to see who were crying. The cry for mercy always reaches out to the Lord. You know, and the Lord said, bring him unto me. Meanwhile, the people were telling him to shut up, you know. But the man, he cried out the more, you know. And that's how you do it. You cry out for the mercy of the Lord, you know. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. You can find this story in Mark chapter 10 and verse 47. And also Luke chapter 18 and verse 38. Jesus, our son of David. Now, David was the one upon whom God spoke the sure mercies of David. And these people are appealing to that, you know, and that would stop Jesus in his tracks at any time. No matter what he was doing, when he heard the cry for mercy, he stopped. And turn around. Bring him unto me. Glory to God. Now, anytime that you can reach out for the mercy of the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever, you know, it is that greatest faith helper that I have found in my life. The mercy of the Lord. By understanding the mercy of the Lord that boosted my faith so many times. Thank God for faith in itself. It works wonders. But after the faith has reached its limit, mercy of the Lord kicks in. Mercy of the Lord, you know, always there. Praise the Lord. So the Lord have mercy on you. The Lord tells you that his mercy is bringing to you his kindness and his peace. I am going to pray and declare some things over the room for you today based on Isaiah 54 and verse 10. But first, let me read a portion, just a portion of Psalm 136. And you can read all of it on your own. But just a portion to show you, you know, the greatness of God's mercy and how this man understood it. He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." And then right away, "For his mercy endureth forever." "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever." "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who by wisdom made heaven, for his mercy endureth forever." I mean, on and on and on. Every single thing he says in this long psalm, made even longer by his punctuations, he punctuates it by "the mercy of the Lord endureth forever." Every single thing that he says. So, you know, "the Lord who remembered us in our low estate." That's the one I want to bring out now. "The Lord who remembers you." Psalm 136 and verse 23. "The Lord remembered Mephibosheth in his low estate because of the mercy." David said, "the kindness of God." "Well, the Lord will remember you in your low estate, and he will show you mercy." "The Lord who redeemed us from our enemies and all the oppression and different things, the burdens and the heavy burdens, because his mercy endureth forever." Now, I declare today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will experience and receive mercy from the Lord, that you will be vessels of mercy. Glory to God. Not everybody can claim to be that. In a great house, there are many kinds of vessels. Some are vessels of mercy, and some are other kinds of vessels. And may the Lord find you to be vessels of mercy, recipients of his mercy. And when you receive that mercy, turn around and show it to somebody else. Glory to God. Father, I declare and decree that your people today will experience a lifting up from the place of Lodabar, from the low estate, from the place of tears. "My tears have been my meat all day and all night long." It's a harvest of joy that's coming for you, because the Lord is turning your story around. "I can see everything turning around for my good," one song says. And I pray that the Lord will show you this. Jesus said in John 16 and 13 that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come just around the corner. May the Lord open your eyes to see what's just around the corner. God has prepared for them oases and 70 palms and dates and things. It was just around the corner in Exodus 25. But they were grumbling because they couldn't see it. May the Holy Spirit show it to you, what's just around the corner. I meant Exodus 15. In Exodus 15, these things were just around the corner, but they couldn't see it. But were just around the corner. The things that God had prepared for them, may the Lord help you to see. The Holy Spirit show you what's just around the corner. They came to Elim. There were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees that God had prepared for them. They were just around the corner, but they were frustrated. They were unbelieving and they were murmuring. But God has prepared these things just around the corner. May you see beyond the present conflict. See the things that God has prepared for you. The Lord will show you your seat on the king's table. Glory to God. Today may be like you are in Lodabar, in a place of regret, a place of loss, a place of darkness, a place of no word, no passion, nothing happening. But the kindness of God is going to fetch you. I declare that the kindness of God fetches you. I declare that you receive even a covenant of peace. So know that this is God's covenant. He swore it by himself. Glory to God. You know, and that he will bring it to you. In the midst of the storm, you will experience peace. And at times also, God will cut off evil occurrence, trouble, conflict, and everything all around you so that we have peace. And even when they are not cut off, in the midst of it, you will still have peace because your heart is stayed on the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.